it's really interesting that Christians expect Jews to come to Messiah, except Jews expect Messiah to come to them. There's a very significant fundamental difference in the way that Jews and Christians think about approaching and relating to Messiah. Jews consider it that Messiah comes to Israel, an expectation of Messiah's arrival. And whereas Christians think that it's Jews that come to Messiah. And I want to pick up in my teaching a little bit of what Aaron talked about, as well as actually some of the things that was spoken on the video. I want to talk about the coming of Messiah to his people. And I want to do it, believe it or not, through the lens of the Christmas story. And you're going to say, what is Christmas doing here at a Jewish synagogue? And I'm glad you asked, because it's actually very important. It's very important. In fact, I encourage you, if you have family or friends that observe Christmas, I encourage you to join with them, participate with them, learn with them. Christmas is not something evil. Christmas is not a pagan holiday. That's my little speech I make once a year. And I'll just leave it at that. Sometimes we talk a little bit more about those specifics. But I want to talk about the miraculous event that happened that Christmas observes. Of course, you know, you learn from the time you were, five, that if you grew up in a Christian home, you learned, or really just an American home, you learned that Santa Claus wasn't really real, and you also learned that Jesus really wasn't born on December 25th. It's the story of Messiah coming to his people. It's a Jewish story. And it, in fact, was described numerous times in the Tanakh, in the Hebrew Bible. In fact, Yeshua is not the first person that had a miraculous birth. What's so strange? Why should people be so, oh my, he had a virgin birth? Like, how weird is that? Actually, Yeshua's birth was not the first miraculous birth. He's only the seventh, or depending how you count, maybe the eighth, my wife pointed out to me this week. Who was the first miracle baby? Of course, if you're a mother, you think that every baby's a miracle, and you think every little boy is you know, good enough to be the Messiah, right? Okay, well, some people say, shaking their heads no. But in the Bible, there were six miracle births in the Tanakh before Yeshua. The first one is the birth of a little guy named Isaac. Do you know his story in Genesis chapter 21? Abraham is 100 years old, and his wife, by the way, isn't far behind him. And so they're certainly past menopause, okay? But God had made a promise that Sarah would have a baby. They tried to come up with their own idea and their own plan for Abraham to have a son. And that was the Hagar incident. That didn't go so well. But the promise was that Sarah would have a son. And God gave the promise. As much as 25 years later, God brought the promise. And sometimes we think we have to wait a long time for God's promises. Who was the second miracle baby in the Bible? Oh, there's several before him. The second miracle baby was Jacob. That, by the way, is Isaac's son. So the son of the miracle baby was himself a miracle baby, Jacob and Esau. You see, Isaac's wife, Rebecca, was dealing with infertility. In fact, did you know that as much as 1 in 8 couples in contemporary culture deal with infertility? I mean, that's like 12%. That's a lot of couples that deal with infertility. And Isaac and Rivka dealt with infertility. In fact, she had prayed for 20 years. Not quite as long as Sarah, but almost for 20 years, Isaac prayed for Rivka. And she conceived. And she had not just one son, she had twins. You know, double your pleasure with two boys. Okay, who is the next miracle baby? What? There's one before him. There's two before him. Yes, whoever said that. Joseph, the guy that we are reading about in today's Torah portion. Of course, we are reading about the end of his life. So Joseph is Jacob's son. So the son of the son of the son. There were three generations in a row that were miracle births. Jacob ends up having four wives. He has children by four different gals. One of his wives can't have any children. And her name was Rachel. Rachel was infertile. Her sister Leah just kept having child after child. She had 7 or 8 or 9 kids. But Rachel couldn't have any. And she was envious. She was a little depressed. She yelled at Jacob about it. She said, "Give me kids or I'll die." That's what she said. The sad irony is that she actually did die in childbirth. By having kids. But she ended up having two. The first one was a guy named Joseph. It's very beautiful. It says that God remembered Rachel. When God remembers something, it's not something passive like, "Oh, gee, I remember where I left my keys." Or sometimes for me, it's my wallet or my phone. Where on earth is that thing? And, you dial one phone from another phone so you can follow the sound. And you, that's not the kind of memory that God has. When God remembers something, he remembers in order to deliver so that he can show up. And so God showed up because he remembered Rachel. And a baby was conceived, and his name was Joseph. The third miracle baby. All these miracle babies. Why should it be so strange that Yeshua was a miracle baby. The next one, a couple of you keep saying Samson. That's right. This guy, do you know that story? He's probably most remembered from having this wife, or not a wife, actually, this gal that keeps chasing him, pursuing him, named, what's her name?
Delilah.
Yeah, Samson and Delilah. But Samson was one of the miracle babies in the Bible. This story is really cool. We're not even told what his mother's name is. I look forward someday to finding out, you know, maybe in the world to come, what was Manoach's wife's name? But an angel showed up and told her, interestingly, not him, told her that she was going to have a son. The message comes not just in a promise, but the promise is delivered by an angel to Manoach's wife, who was dealing with infertility, with childlessness. And she was told, you're going to have a baby. And that baby's name was Samson. Someone also has also said the next one in the Bible. His story is in a book that actually, the Bible that actually bears his name. His name is Shmuel, or Samuel. Samuel's mother was named Hannah, and she also dealt with infertility. Her husband misunderstood her. Her husband's other wife, yes, there's that again, the other wife antagonized her. And out of despair, Hannah asked God for a son. In this case, it wasn't a promise. It wasn't an angel showing up. It was the deep yearning and prayer of Hannah and to God for this gift. God, could I have a son? And Samuel was her boy. By the way, Samuel's name means God listens. God listens is what she named her boy. Very beautiful name based on the story of his birth. And Hannah prayed a special prayer of blessing to God for the gift that she received. There's one more in the Tanakh. And I've not heard anybody mention it. Okay, another hint. It's from the book of Malachim, Kings, with the prophet Elisha. There was a woman in a town called Shunem that wanted to do something very kind for Elisha, who was a prophet in the area. And so she started doing nice things for him, giving him dinners, inviting him over for dinner. She even set up a bed and breakfast in her home. It probably wasn't an Airbnb. I get the sense that Elisha was the only guy that ever used this spare room that she had. She set up a place for Elisha and his students to come, a place for them to stay, a place for them to study, a place for them to sleep, a place for them to meet. And so one of Elisha's disciples says to Elisha, we should do something to bless her. And Elisha told the woman, after they noticed that she didn't have any kids, they said, next year, you will be holding a son. You will embrace and hug a little baby, your own little baby. And although she was old, it says, and thus impossible for her to have a child, she had a son. It began with her character, with her righteousness, with her kindness. And because of her character, there were beautiful things that then began to happen in her life. Here are six stories. Let me say again. So when we get to the birth of Yeshua, that this miracle birth story of Messiah being born to a girl named Miriam, why should it be so strange? Why should we say, well, it's impossible? God had done it six times before. Let me encourage you that when somebody talks about the virgin birth and, oh, that's just impossible, isn't that just as possible in somebody who is dealing with infertility? And, I mean, besides modern day technology, right? But in a couple that's beyond having the, in years beyond having a child, no. The Yeshua's birth was miraculous. It had to be miraculous because, whereas we're going to see, there's a beautiful story that's wove through the lives of these seven miracle babies. So, let's go back to the beginning and talk about the lives of these six little tykes. Because in their lives, we're going to see a beautiful portrait of the life of the seventh miracle baby. Okay? So follow this. This is beautiful. The first one was Isaac. Isaac was the promised child. That promise that had been given as much as 25 years earlier. When he was born, he was the first child ever to be circumcised on the eighth day of his life, which to this day, even if it's on a Sabbath and it's the eighth day of a Jewish boy's life, he has a bris. He's circumcised. I had such an honor just a few months ago to preside at a circumcision. It's the first time I'd ever had that opportunity. It was really fun. It was really delightful. Isaac was the first boy circumcised on the eighth day of his life. Therefore, he was the first boy, the first child to enter into the covenant of God from birth, or at least from the eighth day. In the sight of God, he was Abraham's yechidecha, as it says in Genesis 22. It was Abraham, although Abraham had Ishmael, in God's eyes, Isaac was the only son. The only son, yechidecha, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it is also in that chapter where Isaac was taken by his father to a hill called Moriah, where God had told Abraham to be willing to offer his son back to God as a sacrifice. Though Isaac was not actually killed that day, according to the book of Hebrews, he was, in a figurative sort of way. And, by the way, according to Jewish tradition, the Midrash tells us that Abraham received his son back, resurrected. And that is in Jewish tradition even beyond the Brit HaChadashah in the book of Hebrews. So Jewish tradition tells us that indeed Isaac was raised from the dead, although not literally in the book of Genesis. Jacob was the second child. What made his life special in the history of the Bible? Jacob ended up having 12, I don't have that many fingers. Only the guy on Princess Bride movie can have 12 fingers. The six-fingered man. But Jacob had 12 sons who became, plus a bunch of daughters. But those 12 sons became the basis of the 12 clans, the 12 tribes of Israel. And in fact, God had changed Jacob's name to Israel. That's where we get the word Israel. It was the name of Jacob. And interestingly, Jacob's name ends up being the name for all his descendants, the people of Israel. Am Yisrael. But it's even more than that. God even identified himself with Jacob so much that God named himself after Jacob. For instance, at one point in the Bible, God calls himself, I am the Holy One of Jacob, the God of Israel. God named himself after a human being. Isn't that amazing? Jacob, this miracle baby, ends up being such a tremendous identification in our heritage as the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph, he was the third miracle baby. What was his life like? You've heard Aaron do a beautiful job describing that a few minutes ago. From his earliest age, Joseph was chosen to be exalted, lifted up, and honored over all his brothers. Remember, there were 12 sons of Jacob. And so his 11 other brothers were to honor him. And from the beginning of his life, Joseph had this understanding of his identity and his future role. And as you heard Aaron say, he misunderstood what that looked like and what that meant. Because what that really meant was that his brothers would mistrust him, mistreat him, and reject him. And he was actually sold for a handful of silver coins. Do you remember how many?
30.
Yes, very good. But Joseph was restored in the palace in Egypt. After going to prison, he was lifted up out of prison and was restored to a place of authority where he could save Egypt from starvation and a famine. But not only bring salvation and rescue for Egypt, but as Aaron pointed out, even his brothers, the Jewish people, found salvation from Joseph. Isn't it interesting that Joseph brought blessing both to the descendants of Israel as well as the Gentiles, to the nations and to the Jewish people? Joseph was the one that brought rescue, food, nourishment, saved them from death. What an amazing life this miracle child had. Samson, He's number four. What was his life like? You knew that if an angel showed up to his mom and said, you're going to have a baby, you know his life's going to be something dramatic. He actually grew up to be a judge over Israel. The deliverer, he's called. The deliverer of Israel from their enemies, from the people who were oppressing and bullying the people of Israel. Interestingly, Samson willingly gave his life, at the end of his life, he willingly gave up his life in order to destroy the power of the enemy, the power of the enemy over Israel and the Jewish people. In Samson's death, God brought judgment on the enemies of Israel. Number five, back to Samuel. What was his life like? That was the son of Hannah, the woman that wasn't promised a son, but she prayed and asked for one. And Samuel grew up like Samson, not only to be a judge, but also to be a prophet. A judge and a prophet. Here's the first one of the miracle babies that become a prophet. And finally, the sixth one. That boy from that village named Shunem. We don't know his name. We don't know his mother's name. All we know is that she was a woman that was kind to Elisha, the prophet. There's an interesting story about him. One day, when he was out playing in the field, he fell and hit his head. I don't know if he liked to climb trees. I don't know if he was climbing a rock wall and fell. I don't know if he tripped and hit a tree trunk. I don't know how it happened, but it says he was out playing in the field and he hit his head. And later that day, while laying in his mother's lap, he dies. The little boy that had been promised by the prophet is now dead. Elisha comes in and he picks up the little boy. By the way, contact with a dead body in according to Scripture means that someone becomes spiritually unclean for a period of time. But amazingly, check out how this story goes. Elisha picks up the dead boy's body and carries him to that room, that bed and breakfast room where he stayed. And he laid the boy's body out on the bed. He shuts the door and he prays. And do you know what God did? For the first time ever in the Bible, God raised somebody from the dead. That little boy had been dead, but then was alive. The first time ever anybody in the Bible had ever been raised from the dead, it was this miracle baby, the one who had this miraculous birth, became the first one ever to be raised from the dead. A miraculous reliving, I don't know how to say that. He was miraculous in the beginning and he was miraculous again. So we come to the seventh. This seventh baby who was told that he would have special names. like Samuel had, or Jacob had a special name given by God. This miracle son would have special names too. He would be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor. We're told that he would be the embodiment of God with us. The Hebrew for that is Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Now you know what that Baptist church up on Tate's Creek, what that name means. What does that mean? Emmanuel means God is with us, or God with us. It also tells us that this seventh miracle baby would have a government. Did you know the Bible is a book of politics? It is. It's a political book. This miracle seventh son would have a government, but amazingly, it says that his government would never stop increasing. It says the increase of his government will not end. So imagine that. So we have a governor here in our state, but you know, Kentucky is pretty defined. You know, here's the border. You know, it's at the Ohio River. There is a little question over on the Mississippi between Missouri and Kentucky, because at one point the Mississippi River was actually in a different place than it is now. That's an interesting story about borders. But Kentucky is defined. Kentucky can't grow any larger. Matt Bevin is only limited to what he has. But Messiah's government will never stop growing. It just keeps increasing. It gets bigger and bigger, kind of like, you know, I don't know, you could turn it into a weird movie. You know, it's the ever-growing blob, except it's called the Kingdom of God. And it just keeps getting bigger and growing. And a prophet had promised, just like a prophet had promised the little boy's birth from Shunem. And so a prophet had promised this birth, that a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. And we, on another occasion, can talk about that passage, because that's a contentious passage. You're going to hear people say that, well, that's not really what that passage says. It just says a young woman will bring forth a son. And so what's more so miraculous about that? But it actually says virgin, and it actually means virgin. So a prophet promised his birth. How is that seventh son like Isaac? Like Isaac, the seventh son, Yeshua, was circumcised on the eighth day of his life. Like Isaac, he was seen as the Yechidecha, the only son. What does John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world that he sent, in Hebrew, Yechidecha, his one and only son. Like Isaac, he was also offered by the Father as a sacrifice. By the way, on the same hilltop that Isaac was offered by Abraham. And like Isaac, Yeshua was also figurative and literally raised from the dead. Like Joseph, the seventh son, Yeshua was chosen from the beginning to be the exalted brother among brothers. But he was mistreated, and he was rejected, and he was misunderstood by his other brothers. Joseph was sold off by his 10 other brothers, you told me, for 30 pieces of silver. How many pieces of silver was Yeshua sold for? 30 pieces of silver. Are you catching the connections between the seventh miracle son and the first six miracle sons? Like Joseph, Yeshua also became a savior for the nations, providing sustenance and healing and life, not only for the nations like Egypt, but also for his Jewish brothers. Last week, or actually a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how Joseph revealing himself and his true identity to his brothers was like Messiah revealing himself to the people of Israel, to our Jewish people. Samson. How is Yeshua like Samson? In both cases, an angel appeared not to their father, but to their mother. An angel appeared to Miriam, promising that this son would be a judge and would be a deliverer, just as Samson was. And like Samson, Yeshua willingly gave his life at his death, willingly gave his life in order to destroy the power of Israel's enemies. And in Yeshua's death, like Samson, God brought judgment on the enemies of Israel, particularly, well, all of Israel's enemies. Samuel, if you read the prayer of blessing that Hannah prays in Samuel chapter 2, and you compare it to Miriam's prayer, some places call it the Magnificat. I magnify the Lord who has done mighty things for me. All generations will call me blessed. Miriam prays in the book of Luke. By the way, she's actually just quoting Hannah's prayer from 1 Samuel. Check it out. Miriam knew her Bible. It's really interesting. Both Samuel's mom and Yeshua's mom prays a prayer of blessing to God for the gift that God has given. Just as Samuel grew up to be a prophet, so Yeshua is also our prophet. And the boy from Shunem, that little boy whose mom had the bed and breakfast, the little boy who hit his head and died, how is Yeshua like him? Well, in both cases, their birth was promised by a prophet. And in both cases, they died and were raised from the dead. Yeshua was not only not the first miracle birth in the Bible, he was also not the first miracle baby who was raised from the dead. Yeshua, just as his miracle birth should not surprise us, neither should his resurrection from the dead surprise us. But that's a sermon for the month of April. You'll understand why. So in those six miracle babies before Yeshua, we see some amazing things. Taken collectively, they demonstrate who the seventh miracle baby would be. God used their lives to weave a miraculous, amazing story about Messiah Yeshua. And in their lives, the lives of those six miracle babies that came before Yeshua, in their lives, God did something beautiful, something amazing, something spectacular. And in your life also, because your mom probably thought you were pretty special. In your life also, God can do something amazing if you allow him. If you let God do something amazing in your life, he will continue that story through us together.